Ba-da-ba-bam.
Welcome back to the Inside Trail. It is fantastic to be back again. I love being behind this mic. It's something I'm starting to really grow into, and I hope we'll kind of keep doing this for a while. But today I'm joined by Carl Keogh and Ryan McCann, and I'm hoping to get kind of their insights into training, diets, sleep, you know, the effects that they all, basically all the little nitty-gritty things that kind of build into going to the gym and this whole kind of fitness, you know, this thing that's kind of taken over. Everyone's getting into the gym and everyone's eating, well, trying to eat healthy. But I think there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes if you actually want to progress and look after yourself. And like, even if you're not looking to just, you know, bulk up, go to the gym, like, it's about being healthy and, you know, looking after yourself and getting to know your body a lot better. So that's hopefully what we're going to dive into today. And I'm really excited to talk to the lads. As for anything else going on, not really, just chilling, really. The job in By Me is still there. I'm not gonna try and do another ad. So if you are interested in a job in doing groceries, picking your own hours, that kind of thing, there is, I talked more about it in the previous episode, but otherwise, on my Instagram, there's a little, in the highlights, there's a little ad or thing that you click. If you have any interest, contact me on that. My Instagram is dan.mccaffrey1. And then other than that, I've a lot of people lined up for that. Well, not a lot. I have a few people lined up for the next couple of weeks, so we're going to be busy. But what I would like to do is, if there's anyone out there who has a specific topic that, if it doesn't necessarily have to be that they want to talk about it, but if they want it to be talked about and they want to listen to it, then I'll source someone to come in and we'll talk about it and that kind of thing. Because, you know, I think if we're going to go forward with this, a big thing is going to have to be that people want it. So let's work out what do the people want. But yeah, so that's all from me now. Enjoy.
Ba-da-ba-bam!
Oh, that is fantastic, isn't it? Very nice. Just that beautiful sound. And actually, it's our first time having, you know, three of them on the go. So, thank you. Lads, it's fantastic to have you here. Just for anyone listening, or if you are listening, I hope you're listening, whatever. Carl Keogh, Human Health and Disease in Trinity. Carl, it's fantastic to have you here.
Thank you very much.
The first great time me and Carl met, we were in second year and we were out, you know, hanging around in Castleknock, and us being, you know,
just trying to
be macho and show off in front of all the girls, me and Carl were just tackling each other into bushes, you know, because we were these two, you know, these two rugby players, just like, yeah, let's show off. But yeah, that was a nice intro to the relationship me and Carl had since. And then my other guest today, Ryan McCann. Ryan is doing biological and biomedical sciences in Maynooth in final year. Genius. Ryan has recently started his own kind of fitness page, Ryan Jim McCann, you know, J-I-M instead of J-Y-M, fantastic play. But so today what we're going to kind of try and have a spew about is, actually, you know what, let's have a sip of Monster before we start.
Nice.
Oh, so decent. So, our kind of main, our overall topic today is going to be training, the gym, and the nitty gritty bits that go with it. Like, it's not just, you know, going to the gym 7 days a week. There's a lot that goes on behind that, yeah. You know? So the first thing we'll start with is, how did you both get into the gym? Like, what was your, I don't know who wants to go first, but.
Yeah, so basically I started off going to the gym, got enlisted into the J's when I was in second year, started getting into it with that, and got a little bit of interest. So I was only doing like one or two times a week, kind of small stuff, learning how to actually lift, how to do, how to perform, all that sort of stuff, and it's pretty handy. Then as the years went on, of course, like, there's more focus on gym and getting bigger,
yeah,
as you're getting bigger, as the other lads are getting bigger, and then I just started kind of picking up an interest in it. People were telling me, like, I used to be a big lad,
yeah,
in school.
I remember.
I used to be a big lad in school, so I was, yeah, like, oh, this is something that I'm actually might be pretty good at, so yeah, it was something I kind of stuck to. Then, yeah, true school. Started doing it, I think it was mainly from 4th to 5th year is when I started proper getting into it.
Flat out.
Yeah, flat out, started proper.
So what's that now? That's And how many years are we out of school?
About seven years. Yeah.
Thank God you're not studying maths in college. Right? Okay, so yeah. 7 years and
I was in second year,
So Ryan, then you have a much more recent kind of jump into the gym.
Yeah, I started in my first year of college. It was actually this time 3 years ago. I came back from Christmas break and I was just a skinny lad. Everyone told me I had a big enough frame, but I was captain of Castleknock Celtic at the time. We were in the NDSL Premier League. We won the league that season, but from that I never really had much size. And I was surrounded by people who were bigger than me, like Thomas Moriarty, Andrew Tobin in college. They were big lads, and then all my other mates start going to the gym as well. They were putting on size, so I was like, fuck it, why not?
May as well get involved.
I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get huge for summer.
And then
I just start stuffing my face, eating fucking everything,
And here we are. So 7 years, 3 years. When you look back on when you started training now, what's the one thing that you, just to all the beginners out there who are kind of just starting, what's one thing that you did at the start that you're like, don't do that?
Train arms every day.
I
was hitting arms every day.
Not to do. That's a good question. Don't be stupid. Kind of get your information before you're gone.
Yeah.
Look at how the people that have done it before you have done it.
Yeah.
Spend time learning how to actually perform the lift before start slapping on weight and just fucking milling it out.
That was definitely probably my problem.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, training on your own is different to training in a team setting. I was introduced to the gym in a rugby team and, everyone's doing their squats together, their bench together. Yeah. And there is that element of, another 5 kilos there. I remember there was definitely times when I was probably 17 or 18 where I was putting up good numbers and when you look back and you're like, that doesn't really count. But that's one thing that from my thing is about the form, as you said.
Yeah, as you learn how important form is. If you're going in with your ego, you're just asking for disaster.
Especially, I think, if you're going for it, obviously people who get into this, fitness is becoming this huge thing that everyone's getting into. It's not something that people are getting into for a year.
Yeah.
It's a change people are trying to make in their lives and then have, in their lives as you go on. So the form, I think, is very important. And then what we were talking about earlier was where you get your information sources from. There's obviously a lot of different faces on Instagram and stuff like that. Who will, project the way that they do it. But I don't necessarily think that works for everyone.
No, you see, a lot of the famous people, the likes of Rob Lipsett, and, at the time for me, it was, Joe Delaney, Steve Cook, and all. Steve Cook's very good, credits to him, but, they were just sort of doing what they did and never really showed. They did have some beginner stuff, but I was just sort of copying what they did in the gym. Mm. Whereas, for a beginner, obviously the way you're going to train and put on size quicker is going to be different. And, the way they were training, they'd have a lot more, volume, way more working sets. For a beginner,
it is good, though, to look at those people and actually kind of get direction as to what you should actually be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think myself, personally, I was lucky in school. We had strength and conditioning coaches that would, show us the importance of programming, show us the importance of form, like we were saying earlier. So I think when I started, I kind of learned off them. Initially, but as I went through, I'd get bored with what I was doing with them. I wanted to do more stuff. I'd see different exercises, I'd see how different people would train.
Yeah.
And I'd just go in and do that, and then I'd learn things about how they trained and how it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And take from other people.
Yeah.
And you kind of build a repertoire of resources.
Yeah.
I think last year, his name's Ben Pekulski, Mr. Olympia competitor, he actually went to one of the gyms I went for a seminar. And I started watching his YouTube videos, and it kind of revolutionized the way I train in terms of fucking form, contracting the muscle, activating the muscle that you're going to use before going into the gym, warm ups, all that sort of stuff, range of motion.
So just on warm ups there, what we were discussing beforehand is the importance of a warm up. As I was saying to you, is I'm definitely guilty of when I get to the gym, I'm like, right, I have an hour, need to get this done, and I'll go in a little bit cold, and probably then leads down the road to injury. But So like, what kind of, like, let's say, let's talk about a leg day, for example. Like, what, like, how long do you spend warming up?
In the depths of winter, I remember around November, December, I was going in, like, it was cold nights. Some nights I'd be walking up and I'd be freezing, so I was doing like just quick 5 minutes on the bike,
yeah,
just to sort of heat myself up,
yeah,
get my legs moving, hips loose. I joined barbell solely for the purpose of the machines they have, because like I fucked my back, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah,
opening up the hips on the hip abduction machines and the adductors.
The ones that you are like.
Yeah, like the good girl back. Just get the hips open so you can actually like sort of squat into depth and all.
Yeah.
Like, I was pulling sumo as well. So like having the hips open is huge for that.
Yeah.
So
last year I kind of started, it started off with one body part at a time for my activation work, pre-workout. So I started doing like, if you look like the anatomy of your chest, for example, it inserts on your sternum and it has its, inserts here and it attaches in here. So its primary movement pattern is from origin to insertion, so across your body.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was getting it in the shortened position as possible.
Yeah.
And that kind of starts driving your nervous system, getting it ready, doing all that sort of stuff. But even like in the first few sets of a workout, if you can keep contracting, you get that connection with your muscle.
Yeah. So I remember you, when we were in Vancouver, you were telling me about this kind of mind-muscle connection.
Yeah,
which is something that I never really kind of understood. So what is it exactly that is this?
Just feeling, so basically feeling the muscle work.
It's kind of specific when you're doing a lot of isolation work.
Yeah.
If you can't really feel your muscle working, is it really working as hard as you think it is?
Yeah, the more you can feel it, the better.
If you can feel your muscle contracting, if you can feel it, you can feel like it getting a pump. You just feel like you're getting more out of the workout.
Yeah, establish that as you go on as well.
Yeah, but you learn it, and like if you spend time focusing on that sort of stuff, contraction work, lighter rep ranges, working in like the shortened position of a muscle, it kind of stands to you later on, because it just constantly builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
So you can really focus and pin down that muscle when you're doing a specific exercise. And then even further down the line, you can like vary angles and stuff when you're doing an exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can hit different parts of that muscle. So once you get on top of that, it can really help.
What we've been doing lately is before legs, doing a load of core activation.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a good bit, like
So what kind of things would you do for core activation?
Do like a little plank rotation.
Yeah.
So then dead bugs, crunches.
Yeah, we do like just a normal plank.
Yeah.
From like face down for 30 seconds into plank on one side for 15. Plank into the side for 15, back into the normal plank.
Yeah.
Just that's basically what, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Then the dead bug, where you're like, do you know dead bugs? No,
it's like core exercises.
Yeah.
One hand down and then your knee down, and you're kind of like lifting alternating legs.
Okay.
It's kind of a bit of stability.
Your left leg, your right arm be going up. It's like Superman's. Like,
yeah,
I call them. And then McGill curl ups, where you have your one knee up.
Yeah.
And you'd have your hand in behind your lower back to make sure your lower back is planted. Because if you're arching, you're not actually, like, the stress isn't on your core.
Yeah.
So, and then you're literally just doing crunching with your chin into your core. You're not actually moving your core.
Mm.
And, like, you hold that and you can just feel your core working.
Yeah.
Which is important for, like, the big lifts, like squats and deadlifts. Because if your core isn't active,
to center everything, like, okay. You use it to transfer energy from your lower body to your upper body for your upper body lifts.
I think especially when you're doing things like squats and deadlifts and stuff, that kind of warm up is a lot more important, especially when you progress in the gym, and if you are someone who does kind of want to test their max and stuff like that.
If you're working up to heavier weights,
it is very important. Like, I remember like seeing people in Vancouver, actually, people in the gym, and you're seeing them and you're like, he's not going to squat that, is he? But, you know, people, I just think it's, as you said, it is very important to keep that whole thing warmed up to prevent the injury.
It's tight, like, as well.
So, as you were saying with your injury, what you were telling me earlier was you did a disc in your back.
Yeah, I slipped a disc.
So, tell me about this.
It was like, I was still sort of a novice at the time, and I was training in Westside in Blanche, and they didn't, like, the machines I use now, they weren't there in Westside. Like, I could have used other things, like bands and stuff, but I didn't realise that. I was just going in quick, like, stretching. I was actually doing static stretching, which can actually, like, isn't very good pre-workout. It's better after a workout.
Builds up
it's elongating the muscle more so.
So you're freeing up your muscle. and you're getting into a range of motion that it's not constantly working in,
yeah.
you're actually increasing your risk for injury.
Rather than actually yeah. activating the things that needed to be done, I was going in like really tight, like hips, glutes,
yeah.
like nothing was firing before lifting, and then eventually one day I was getting out of my friend's car, and like I could just, like I got
yeah.
this shooting pain. I was like, oh boss, what is that?
Yeah.
So I thought it got away, and it was like my whole left leg was numb. And basically what had happened was the disc came out and was hitting off my sciatic nerve,
yeah.
which travels down your leg. And it was like a burning sensation in my hammy. So here I was like stretching like my hammies and my like
yeah.
ribs and stuff. So I thought it was another thing called piriformis syndrome, which when the piriformis, which is located in your arse, like
yeah.
when is that's tight, it pinches the nerve.
Okay.
So I was trying to stretch it out, doing all these like foot on the knee stuff, leaning over into it, and then like they were actually making it worse because the way I was bending my back stretching was causing the disc to protrude further, and I was
yeah.
still, I was doing that pre-workout, then going and lifting.
Yeah.
And like I ignored it for literally 18 months like until
really?
I decided to go physio, and then this, I'm pretty sure the physio was pretty new as well.
Yeah.
And he was giving me these exercises and it just fucking made it worse as well. So then went to a doctor then, like, and she said I can refer you to a neurosurgeon. So I was like, right, like we can either get surgery on this or try to fucking fix it myself. So I was looking up ways to fix it, and Louis Simmons, I think is his name, he owns Westside Barbell, which is the strongest like powerlifting gym in the world.
Yeah.
He did the same thing. He was like, yeah, when I broke my back and he created this machine called a reverse hyperextension.
Okay.
So you're basically planted with your upper body on the machine and you're just moving your legs, but like you can add weight to it, and this basically like pushed the disc back into place
and fixed it.
And like improves, like the way the movement is, it improves flexibility in your spine and where it's working, and increases blood flow to them areas, because like the discs in your spine, they're avascular.
Yeah.
Which means there's very little blood flow
okay.
going to them, so they can't really heal on their own. You need to move.
Yeah.
And I noticed that because I took time off training for like a month.
Really?
And I noticed like sitting around and stuff was making it worse.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck? And then yeah. just did
it was
that
the movement
myself.
That it needed.
The movement,
the
yeah.
movement.
That one exercise fixed me up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Fair. And have you had any gym-related injuries?
Gym-related, nothing really major. I did get a lot of tightness up in my shoulder and my trap before. And that I didn't realize how it was affecting my training until I actually went and got it fixed.
Mm.
It was just getting more and more uncomfortable, so I was like, I'm gonna go see someone about it.
Mm.
So I went up to Will, can't remember his second name, but he was in a
thanks
gym.
Will.
Thanks Will. He was in a, he worked out of a gym that I used to go to, Westside, and I went up to him, and he basically did a set of serious massages.
A little workup,
digged into me proper hard, and you could literally. He has a mirror in his room, and I could literally see like the blood flow, like my skin going red after he had worked on it, the blood coming back into the areas that were kind of cut off.
Yeah.
And I went to the gym the next day, and it was literally like working out with a new body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would actually say, if anybody has like little niggles, little tightnesses and stuff like that, get that sorted before it becomes something even bigger.
Yeah.
Get yourself set up for like big injuries.
Yeah.
Like, it improves your performance as well.
Yeah.
That
you need to pay
stuff.
Attention to your body is
yeah.
that's one thing
that's
that I'm
one huge
thing. I'm so stupid for, and I'm continuously stupid for, but it's
yeah.
just one of the things that like I'll have something wrong with me and I'll know it's there, but I'll be like, I can work around
yeah,
that
go, like
I recently had injections in my knee here, I don't even know,
cartilage was it,
doctor, no, I had the cartilage in this knee. I'm known for my bad knees. I've had cortisone injections in my ankle, fake cartilage put in this knee, and then I had this, I just had a cortisone injection put in here, but the thing blew up, like it's something to do with like the skin was like moved, I can't, something levy, that's the name of the injury anyway, but it's just something that I'm so bad, like even my shoulder now, like I definitely have something wrong with my shoulder and I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, it's not that sore,
yeah.
but as you said, it is something that you do need to stay on top,
like,
which
yeah.
is...
There's a difference between stiffness and, like, literally training through pain. If you're
yeah.
in agonizing pain, like, I could barely fucking walk.
Yeah.
Like, my whole left leg was numb. I had a limp.
Yeah.
And people were saying it to me.
Still
I'd be like, oh, right,
it's just
my arse. Like, yeah, I
yeah.
still have sort of a limp. That's because the fucking nerves aren't properly
yeah.
restored. My pelvis is still a bit tilted from
yeah.
From what happened, because like the muscles would tighten up on one side and the others would be relaxed, so it caused my pelvis to actually tilt.
Yeah.
And it's correcting itself now, but because I'm actually paying attention to it, but man, Yeah, anyone.
Nasty.
Strengthen up every area as well. One thing I never trained was my glutes and my core, my lower, like my lower abdomen.
Yeah.
So since I started strengthening my core and my glutes with the abduction as well, big one, that would open up my hips, free up my lower back, get rid of the pain and stuff. Just movements I never did.
Yeah.
That were important.
And you kind of have issues like in your hip, where the problem actually isn't from your hip, like it's further down your leg, like your knee, your ankle stability and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like even in your shoulder, it can be your bicep.
Yeah.
It can be your back.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff attached. Like.
So go to a specialist. Like.
Yeah.
Go to someone who knows what they're talking about and don't try to fix the problem yourself.
So then the other thing we're talking about was like when you're neglecting certain parts of your body.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not training, like say people who don't train legs, like if they're then trying to, if they do start to train legs and they don't do it properly, then that can lead to injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like what, like, so for example, like what parts would you say are common? Like obviously we said like when people start the gym, one thing that everyone
is, beach weights.
No one ever neglects their biceps. Do you know what I mean? Their buys and tries, like if anyone goes to the gym, you never see someone who goes to the gym who doesn't train arms. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas like there's some people who don't train legs. There's some people who, you know, probably don't train shoulders properly.
Yeah.
There's people who don't train, you know, like you do loads of deadlifting as well. I feel like I'd say your lower back is so powerful now for the amount of deadlift you do.
Yeah, it's pretty strong now. Even like looking in the mirror, I can see the fucking the Christmas tree thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In good light and off. But that was like a year, like this time last year, I was out of action completely.
Yeah.
And like I was thinking about getting surgery.
Really?
And then when I went back and actually sort of fixed things up myself, like now I'm pulling numbers I never even thought I could. Like,
you're
saying like on neglecting training body parts, like your back has an influence on how much you can push.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, so like you start training your lats, you get your lats stronger, you actually get a stronger bench. You get that sort
I've
of
heard that before, that before you're going for before you're going for a big bench, you should warm up your back.
Yeah, we always warm up our lats and stuff like that before we do a bench. It helps you like set into the movement properly, get a proper movement pattern.
So one of the other things that like I definitely am bad for it is sleep. So what we were discussing earlier was the different stages of sleep. So do you want to give me a little rundown on the?
Yeah. See, when you're in sleep, you have you have deep sleep, and then you have just like transition phases going into sleep, and then you have not so deep sleep, and then you have rapid eye movement. That's just after your deepest sleep. That's your most active stage of sleep, and what happens is, I can't remember the exact hormone that's produced, but you basically just regenerate everything in your body. Like
it's growth hormone.
Growth
hormone spikes during when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people like to think, oh, human growth hormone, you're growing.
Yeah.
But I think like the better word to use is like human repair hormone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it repairs everything you've done during the day, kind of revitalizes your body, like your skin, your hair, everything.
I think it's there's another one as well, acetylcholine.
Yeah, yeah,
which that's produced, and like you go basically into paralysis. Yeah. And it just stops you using like so much energy. So the energy's being used to restore yourself, your body, like, so.
And is there a particular, I know there's these kind of sleep apps that they wake you up at the perfect time or whatever. So is there an ideal time to wake up within your sleep cycle, whether it be like deep sleep?
There will be, yeah. So when you come out of a certain cycle, I think they measure it by how much you're actually moving around in your sleep. It'll set your alarm or it'll wake you up at that time.
Yeah. So what then, it tries to avoid waking you up when you're still...
When you're in deep sleep, yeah. Because that can be kind of bad for getting back into a sleep as well. If you wake up during the night and you can't get back to sleep, could have woken up from like, when you're in the middle of a deep sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, caffeine is one thing that fucks your sleep up. Like,
yeah, that's one thing that I've, like...
One thing that I'm sure everyone else...
Yeah.
Ironically enough.
Like, ironically enough, the three cans of Monster. but like, you can't beat a good caffeine buzz, like...
No.
Like, as well, like, when you're sitting around and you've had a long day, whether it be a coffee or a can of Monster, like, when you just get, you know, you feel like you're on your toes then again.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, what are the negatives to caffeine? Like, it's in all these caffeine drinks, it's in a lot of soft drinks have caffeine in them, you know. So what is the downfall?
One thing is, like, if you take too much, it can actually close up your blood vessels, increase your blood pressure. Yeah, so your blood pressure increasing.
Just spit it all over the floor.
It's good as a pre-workout, get your heart rate.
Good as a pre-workout, yeah. Like everything, take too much of something, it'll be
in moderation.
Yeah.
See, what it does, like, in the brain, see, before you go to sleep, your brain produces adenosine. So it has all these adenosine receptors.
Mm.
So like this is when your body is tired, it tells your brain like and adenosine binds to these receptors. But because caffeine has a similar molecular structure to adenosine, your brain thinks caffeine is adenosine.
So it's just confusing your body. So it just
fucking confuses your body, right? So you're not falling into sleep because caffeine could stay in your body like for hours.
Yeah.
100 milligrams could stay in your body
for like a 4-hour half-life or something like that.
6 hours, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
4 or 6.
Yeah.
But,
fact check.
Yeah. And it also produces dopamine. So that means you're reducing fatigue in the morning.
Yeah.
But you're also making like the feel-good hormone. Like literally the first sip of coffee you take in the morning. That's why everyone's like, oh, the first sip.
Yeah.
Just on dopamine there. I remember there's some fellow I follow on Instagram, Coach Eugene Teo, and he was talking about like dark chocolate pre-workout,
because
when you eat dark chocolate, it like actually increases the amount of dopamine in your brain. So when you're going in there and you're doing heavy sets or whatever, it can kind of like program your brain to be like release more dopamine when you're doing it later on. So you get that feel good when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, but when you're like stimming yourself up all the time with coffee, like, your brain produces more adenosine because you're constantly like using them receptors, so it produces more of these receptors.
Yeah.
Therefore, it takes you more caffeine to stimulate yourself.
To build up that's how a caffeine
tolerance
then works.
Yeah. And then you become more. You need more adenosine to become tired. Then, so this will fuck your sleep up.
Yeah.
And it's a vicious cycle of you just being
more and more
tired, more caffeine, getting more tired. Like.
Yeah. So then,
you feel like shit as well because you're depleting your dopamine.
It starts to come off though as well. Like,
so yeah, so like if you were like, I know people who have done that where they've felt that they've had a lot of caffeine for a long time and they're like, right, I need to do like no caffeine for a bit. Like, so if you didn't do that, what are the long term effects of drinking too much caffeine every day?
Well, people say depression. Like the studies say depression. Like. I don't know how. Like,
that's just to do with the dopamine levels. Then,
it is to do with the dopamine. And
I think you have to be drinking quite a bit of caffeine though.
Yeah.
Over a long, long period of time for that to come into play.
I'd say like if you've had a good sleep and you're not like training or whatever that day, maybe just take it easy.
Take a day off. I'm gonna take that, Pedro. I'm gonna try that during.
Just take
yeah.
off,
yeah.
I don't think people kind of necessarily make the link between what we put into our bodies and our mental health. So.
Yeah.
You know, what you were talking about earlier was how your diet will affect your mood and stuff like that. So, you know, what part of your diet do you know will definitely affect?
Fats.
Carbs.
Fats and carbs. Okay, so, Carol, tell me.
Carbs. Sometimes I feel like if I'm carb depleted after a while and I reintroduce them into my diet, can actually feel myself getting happier.
Really?
But there's this thing where I think your body either needs carbs or carbs can affect it, but like serotonin, it's mainly produced in your gut.
Okay.
So when you're eating carbs, you'll be getting more serotonin, you'll be feeling better, feeling happier, more motivated, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So yeah, like eating food, make sure you get enough of specific things.
So on that, just for carbs, so if you, like say, if you were to go on a cut and you were to then bring your carbs down, would you feel that?
Feel a bit moody.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on how long you've cut them out for as well.
So then, and then fats?
Fats are just like, they produce like all your hormones.
Sure, all your hormones are fat soluble, so they kind of have to have something to transport
them somewhere. Like,
people are scared of fats, like they think fats are bad, I feel like.
Yeah.
But fats
are
so
like.
Essential.
Yeah, especially when you see the function of lipids in your body. Like they actually are everywhere. And especially in hormones, because obviously hormones are, they're the opposite to like neurons and your nervous system, that's all slowly, so you kind of need to have that constant amount of fat. Like I know if you cut down your fat like to real low, like you just, your hormones just don't have any way of kind of moving around and doing their job.
They're not produced properly basically. Same with carbs as well. Like carbs are like they're your body's main energy source for all the cellular processes. Like that's how you get ATP. That's cellular energy. Like,
yeah,
one thing that I've heard, like, you know, the way sometimes when women cut down or they want to diet, they'll actually cut down their food quite a bit. When they cut down on their fats and the menstrual cycle and all that sort of stuff, they're actually not producing optimal amounts of estrogen, progesterone, because it's too low, and they get a lot more moody than you'd expect. But
yeah,
same goes for men, for like testosterone. You are what you eat, like.
Yeah.
You get more fats in, you can synthesize more hormones.
Yeah.
You have better sex drive as well.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, them bodybuilders, they lose their libido, like, when they're, like, before stage, ready, like,
yeah.
There's such low body fat, they've no sex drive whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's interesting because I've never really associated, you know, having enough fats in your body to your sex drive. It just seems like, yeah, like when you don't really look at it from a science perspective, they seem like two different worlds.
Yeah,
but
there's
you
a
know.
Lot of like stigmatisms around them. Like,
yeah.
With carbs and fats particularly, they're like, oh, cut out carbs.
Yeah.
Bad for you. But like, if you cut out your carbs all of a sudden after eating so many, you're just going to feel like shit.
Yeah.
You're not going to stick to your diet. Like, this is like, that's the one thing I feel people fall off with on their, like, with diets. They just don't have a sustainable diet. Like, I think flexible dieting is becoming more and more of a thing now because people are realizing that you don't need to cut out all these foods.
Yeah.
Like,
and
foods you love, like.
Yeah, fair. So that's obviously kind of looking towards cutting. Now, I did put a little thing on the Instagram earlier, kind of seeing what people wanted to ask you. And one of the things that came up from a couple of people was, you know, for those people who have the, you know, a smaller frame, they struggle to put on weight, that kind of thing. How, like, what's the best way and the healthiest way for someone to bulk up?
Nuts.
First?
Nuts.
Nuts, yeah, nuts are a big thing. I've actually, I used to eat, like, eggs every morning for breakfast for, like, 2 years. And I've kind of swapped them out now for cashew nuts. I don't have time to eat my eggs in the morning, scramble my eggs.
So what, like, a handful of cashew nuts?
50 grams cashew nuts in the morning. You get, like, a similar profile. Boom, out the door.
And what kind of nuts?
Cashew nuts.
Is it just cashews or do you venture into pistachios?
A few Brazil nuts, but cashew nuts are high protein as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked them.
Fair.
Yeah, I'd say when you're in the morning, like, a lot of people wouldn't have an appetite in the morning. So just try to get something in the morning. That way then you have,
like, it kicks you off for the rest of the day as well.
Yeah,
when you eat in the morning, you're going to be hungrier and hungrier throughout the day. Like, you get your metabolism started at
Once you kick that off. Yeah. So, like, as we were saying earlier, like, if you're kind of looking to cut, you might not eat for the first, you know, third of the day, because you can only get X amount of calories in from 2 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Versus you start eating at 8 o'clock, you've got, you know,
you got
14 hours versus
window, like.
But yeah, what was the other thing I was gonna say there?
Another thing on people that want to put on weight, drinking your calories. I know a lot of
shakes,
people.
Man, yeah.
I know
shakes.
A lot of people are like, yeah, make sure you get your food from all sources and stuff like that. But if you just get, I've done this as well, like, whey in the morning, milk, oats, peanut butter, into a blender, bang, 800 calories.
That's
nice and easy.
Yeah.
For a skinny lad, 800 calories, like,
yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
man.
For people who are struggling, that is a very good check.
It takes like 10 seconds to blend it up as well. Like.
So then just on going into whey there, so, like, what kind of supplements would you recommend for people starting off? Like, obviously, I think whey is something that, like, you know, I know people who give their kids whey, and, like, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you need that extra bit of protein, fine, if they're, you know, playing sports and stuff like that. But, like, I remember when we were in school, there used to be this stigma around, like, he's on protein.
Yeah, that's...
Do you know what I mean?
That's,
like,
a weird thing as well, like, because it still is food.
Yeah.
Like, although it's labelled as a supplement, whey protein is a food.
Yeah.
Casein protein,
made from cheese
is a food,
or something.
Like,
this is from...
It's the byproduct.
Like, it's still food.
Stigmas rise from people who, like, aren't educated enough in nutrition, though. Like, no supplement is going to make you any better than the next person. Like, if you can get so many calories, all it comes down to is calories. Like, but...
Of course, get the majority of your calories in from proper, healthy foods.
From real.
You'll feel better doing it as well. You'll get nicer food in.
And then another stigma that was in school that was, like, I never really ventured into it much, was creatine. But, the one thing about the creatine was, you have to take it every day. And I'm so bad at, like, remembering shit like that. So I remember I'd be like, right, Sunday, Monday, this is it. I'm gonna get huge this week. And you get to Wednesday and you're just like, where is that tub?
Yeah.
But, like, you had something up on your new gym Instagram about creatine. So, like, what does creatine do?
Basically provides your cells, your muscle cells, with extra phosphate. When you're contracting your muscles, training, you're depleting your cells of energy, which is ATP at cellular level. So that's adenine triphosphate, and it goes down to adenine diphosphate.
Yeah.
See, when you're taking creatine, it's stored as creatine phosphate, and then with the extra phosphate in the muscle, you can give that phosphate
to
the diphosphate
to the phosphate to make it back to ATP to use as energy.
So essentially, it just gives you the opportunity to make more ATP.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
More ATP, more energy, more lifts.
Yeah. And it naturally occurs in meat, am I right?
It does, yeah.
In very trace amounts, but...
Yeah, that's
I think it's
thing.
Like a combination of a few amino acids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you get it from a lot of red meat. Eating red meat and things like... And your body produces like 3 grams a day anyway. But if you're supplementing on top of that, your body can store an extra 5 grams or something like that, so...
And with that though, you like your muscles absorb much more water to store it. You do actually gain a bit of weight. People are like, oh, it makes you fat. No, you gain a bit of water weight. It's not fat, like but that what can happen though is it's drawing water away from other places in your body. So if you are taking creatine,
you need to drink
an extra bit of water. You drink loads of water anyway, but drink that extra bit when you're supplementing with creatine. You know.
So. The thing about creatine, what I found in school, is it was that anyone who was taking creatine, they were looking to make that next step towards, you know, getting bigger. And obviously, it isn't a bad thing. But, you know, I find that when people get to a certain height, they'll kind of be like, okay, I need to go a bit further. And I think that's when people kind of start to use kind of steroids and stuff like that. Now, I know that neither of you have a huge background in steroids, but what is the first... So, let's include creatine as a step. But gateway drug, yeah. So let's say you've hit your natural ceiling. You've hit your natural ceiling, right? So what is the first kind of steroid / drug, whatever, that a person will take?
Usually you hear of people taking like oral steroids or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to inject.
Yeah. I suppose that's definitely a few of the people will go into that. They want to avoid that.
Yeah. But, it's probably just testosterone. And then every other steroid is just a derivative of testosterone.
Okay.
Any anabolic steroid is a derivative of testosterone.
D-ball is pretty common as well. Anabol.
Yeah.
So what are the... So for anyone out there who is kind of at that stage where they're considering that, so just to make sure that everyone is educated, because, you know, I think you could definitely get into something like that and be... unaware of what's going on, and then all of a sudden,
if you are
going
to get into it, you better know what you're getting into.
So, what are the like main side effects of, you know, deciding fuck it, I'm gonna start taking testosterone?
I think one main thing, especially for younger men, is infertility,
impotence as well.
Like you start off at somewhere, you go further and further down the line. Eventually, you might just not be able to have children.
And what, do your testicles just stop working?
Yeah, so you're cutting off your body's natural testosterone production. Yeah.
So I think testosterone is vital for sperm production as well. So when you're taking exogenous testosterone, your body gets lazy and you're like, oh, I don't need to.
So exogenous
make it
means
anymore.
From an outside source.
Your body doesn't need to make it anymore. And then, because in men, it's linked to sperm production and all that sort of stuff, the body gets lazy with that and stops making sperm.
Yeah.
Acne as well.
Yeah.
Acne is another thing, yeah. From the byproducts, I think it's like dihydrotestosterone and estrogen. When you're not taking those things, they'll probably be balanced. When you start adding extra stuff in, they can kind of run havoc throughout your body and get spots, acne, mood swings, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, mood swings is a big one.
Yeah.
With the roid rage.
Yeah. So, like, what? I don't really know anyone who's, like, been on roid rage and that, but, like, it does, it can proper, like, it does affect people a lot.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, I didn't actually watch the documentary, but... There's that one on RTE about steroids and steroid use, and kind of the general consensus was that it's not a good thing to get into.
See, if you know what you're doing and you're like, you do take them carefully with like an understanding of what can happen to your body, and you properly like go through a PCT, it's the post psychotherapy.
Yeah,
like you can take them safely, but they're always
these things.
The risk.
They do work. Like they are medical. Tools.
Yeah, like they're used to treat diseases. So it isn't like you're taking, you know, something ridiculous like meth and sticking it in your ass and being like, cheers. Do you know what I mean? Like, as you said, there are, like, it's not a foreign thing. You know, it is used and they are medically tested.
It's used in like HIV patients and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Men, as you get older as well,
Your
testosterone naturally drops off. Happens with women too. But that's another thing that I'm not too sure about. But men, their testosterone drops, the growth hormone drops.
Start to lose their hair.
Yeah, you can actually even get depressed as well, or get like depressive like symptoms because looking back, you're like, I'm not the man I used to be.
Yeah.
So a lot of them will go to like, what you call them? Old age
hormone
clinics.
Hormone replacement
clinics.
Yeah.
And get that sort of, and a lot of them, they stand by it. Like they say it is Yeah. It is great for you. Yeah. You feel much definitely better, you feel younger.
But I suppose then it's kind of a case of doing it because you're trying to prolong your youth kind of thing, rather than abusing it to, you know, get bigger or get leaner. So I suppose
it's a big thing now amongst kids, man. Like, they join the gym and they think, like, it was like, get a bit of whey, get a bit of creo, some pre-workout. But like now, man, it seems to be like, join the gym, get fucking juiced out of it.
That seems
before
to be
they learn the basics, and they just fuck themselves up like shit.
You see lads who are joining gyms at, like, you know, 16, 17 years old, and within 6 months they're doing a cycle, and you're like, you haven't even let your body naturally
reach
it. Like, you could have been a fantastic natural thing, but now your whole progress is going to be completely down to you jumping straight on steroids. Yeah. Like.
And the thing is, you develop, your body does develop a dependence on such high testosterone levels. So, what happens.
I think especially at a young age when you're going through puberty as well.
Your tests,
like,
naturally.
When you're fucking around with your testosterone.
Yeah, if you haven't reached your max of your puberty yet, like a lot of people continue into their 20s, if you start taking things like testosterone when you're 16, 17, and when you come off, your testosterone is going to be low.
You're never
going to
reach that.
You're not
going to
reach what you were meant
like,
to naturally reach, so you're going to take more.
Yeah.
But your body won't actually catch up to where it was meant to be. Like, your muscles and stuff will get bigger, but your bones, you might have a little bit more growing in you. Your bones will stay small.
Yeah.
Organs might stay a bit smaller and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, you need to fully develop. You need to actually research things before you decide to make, like, such a thing that's going to affect you in the long term. That's what a lot of kids, I feel, they don't realise, like, what they're actually doing to themselves, you know?
Yeah. So before we move off our kind of gym training topic, is there anything that you'd like to leave on that? Like, what's your gym message? You know, like, what's...
Learn the basics
because you're going to keep learning the whole time you're in the gym. You're going to be learning about training, you're going to be learning about eating, you're going to be learning about supplements. There's so much actually incorporated.
Keep it
whole
mind.
Yeah.
So much incorporated into the whole, like, going to the gym. You make it a lifestyle. You get interested in it. You research. Like, it's fun to learn about these things.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun.
It actually is, yeah.
Applying them to yourself and seeing yourself change based off your own merit.
Yeah.
And your
Even
own
still.
Research.
We're still learning from, like, me and Kyle still learn from each other new things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So from stuff we've seen, like, we're still applying them now and just introducing new, like exercises, whatever.
Yeah. And like, a lot of the time, it's not where you want to get, it's how you get there.
Yeah,
that's
the
fun part.
It's the journey.
It's the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
But we learned that, like, when we're doing that.
It's a good process.
2 years ago, I did my first proper diet.
Yeah.
And I learned so much about my body and how it reacts to certain foods and how it reacts to training on that way.
Hmm.
It was pretty interesting. It's pretty good. So,
Well, that kind of puts our kind of overall training, and like, that's a great insight. I'm sure a lot of people will find a lot of that very useful. But now we're moving on to my favorite shit. Okay, so which one of you would like to tell me your gag first?
I'll go for it.
Okay, go.
Okay, so what did the cannibal do after he dumped his girlfriend?
I don't know.
He wiped his ass.
Oh god! I think that was dark.
Okay.
What can you say, both during sex and at a funeral?
Well,
this would be much better if you're alive.
Pretty dark, man.
Pretty dark.
Yeah, they're the best jokes though.
Yeah, fair. You have to have a bit of dark humor.
Dark humor.
Okay, so I was in Vancouver and I was a painter and I had to be hospitalized. Hospitalized. Any idea why?
No.
Far too many strokes. Yeah. Nice. The gags are only going to get poorer, so. Okay, so, life hack.
Kind of said it earlier. So eat the blend your food, but there's another one for the boys out there with beard. Get yourself a nice adjustable electric razor.
So key.
You can just trim it, shape it, do whatever you want, play around with your beard. But yeah, get yourself
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Something I noticed when I was looking for around my gaff today is that when I'm going away, on my suitcase there's this little fucking pink ribbon.
Yeah.
That, like, I can just spot every time I'm
going
to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just see that, I'm like, oh, there's my pink ribbon. You know? So I'd rather than standing there, like,
better, right?
Your case,
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Save so much time. Like,
there's nothing worse than, like, being, is that my bag? It's the same bag. Open it. They're not mine.
Yeah.
I don't remember packing women's underwear.
Right, so this is my life hack this week. I've actually had this ages, and I don't know how I've not said it before. Right? You ping this onto the window, okay? And then you stick the phone in there. It's great for sat-nav, If you're sitting waiting for something, stick a YouTube video on, sit and chill. But also something I was driving up from Wexford yesterday, whacking on camera facing out time lapse the whole drive. Yeah, man, it's so cool. And they're only like a fiver in Apple Green. Like, yeah. cheers Apple Green.
Safety first,
absolutely. So trivia. Alright, rock, paper, scissors, and we'll see who goes first. Okay, so
you first.
Okay, Ryan, you ready?
Yeah.
What is the last letter of the Greek alphabet? Clue being, it's a well-known one.
Zed.
No, the Greek alphabet, not the.
I don't fucking know.
So the Greek alphabet is like alpha and all that shit.
Oh shit.
So it's not alpha. There's a clue.
Say epsilon, I know that's E, like,
it's omega.
Okay,
who is Belfast Airport named after?
John.
George Best.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
What's it called? Look. It's not just Belfast Airport.
George Best. I don't know. Okay, who named the Pacific Ocean? Well travelled man.
Christopher Columbus.
Magellan. Just before him. What country is Mount Everest located in?
Nepal.
Nice. In Greek mythology, he is known as Zeus, but in Roman mythology, he is known as?
God of War?
No, so he's a different name. Like, it's not Zeus, it's something else. Like, they all, like, all the Greek gods all have Roman names and Greek names. So his name in Greek is Zeus, and his Roman?
No idea.
Jupiter.
Okay. So I've
none
of
these either.
Yeah.
What country is it illegal to own a singular guinea pig? So you can't only own one.
Social animals.
America, I'd say.
Switzerland.
America.
Okay, what do you call a female elephant?
Do you know this?
No.
A cow.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, I was thinking of.
Okay, what year was the last case of smallpox diagnosed?
Oh, I should know this. Smallpox.
If you get it within a year, I'll give it to you.
Oh, smallpox. Smallpox,
1977, wild guess. 1977.
Shit.
Okay, where would you find the Sea of Tranquility?
Sea of Peace?
Trick question.
The Sea of Peace.
I don't actually know that it's called the Sea of Peace. The Sea of Tranquility is what it's known.
Yeah, Sea of Tranquility. The moon.
Yeah.
The moon.
There is a moon.
Fuck you, Will.
So, okay, he's got two, so he's not last. Okay, so you've actually a chance to get up to the third mark here. Who voiced the genie in Aladdin? Our beloved Robin Williams.
Oh.
What a man. Okay, so that's two. Well, like, I know two out of ten sounds... I know two out of ten kind of sounds poor, but when you put it into perspective, the highest is five, and I think the most common score is two.
Yeah, fair.
So, you're average. Okay, Carl, ready?
Yeah.
What is the capital of Turkey?
Constantinople.
Ankara.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What chemical element are diamonds made of?
Graphite.
Carbon.
Mm.
What is the currency of India, Pakistan, and a few other Asian
rupees.
Countries? Rupees. Nice.
Okay.
Oh shit, I just inserted a drawing in the middle of my notes. Okay, try and scroll. Sorry.
Brain, you do shit
there.
Okay.
No, yeah.
What do you call a poker hand with a three of a kind and a pair?
Pass.
Not really. Absolutely. You're not giving.
Yeah. No.
Full house.
Okay.
Okay. What did the crocodile swallow in Peter Pan?
Captain Hook.
Alarm clock.
He eats him at the
end. He does. Yeah. Fair. If I said who, maybe, but I said what. Okay. Where does the British Prime Minister live? Famous address.
It's number 6 Downing Street.
It's number 10 Downing Street. I'll give you a 0.5 for that because you got the Downing Street, right? So let me just write down 0.5.
1.5. How many's left?
You have 4 left. Okay, who painted the Sistine Chapel?
I know this.
Michelangelo.
Yeah, nice. What is the capital of Kenya?
It's beginning with an A.
No. Don't, we're not going to do the whole album.
Kenya. I don't know.
Nairobi.
Nairobi, fair.
What language has the most words?
English?
Yeah. So you're on
3.5.
Okay. What is the smallest type of tree in the world?
Bonsai tree.
Yeah, nice, Carl. 4.5, Carl. That's a nice score.
Doing well.
You're still just beneath Tom. Had you got that number 10 down the street, you'd have tipped the top and Ryan two.
Mediocre. Look, just an average bloke. So
look,
sitting second on the table.
What you'll do is, when you leave here today, I want you to get home and study every trivia book you have.
Study everything.
Study everything ever that was ever made, and then the next time you're on, easy, I hope you'll do better. No, but lads, it's been absolutely fantastic to have you. Your insights, I think when you have people talking about things that they actually have experience in, rather than things that, you know, obviously you've learned things in books that you can apply to your thing, but the fact that you're speaking through experience is definitely very useful. Like, I love hearing about it, and I hope everyone listening does too. So it's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Pleasure being here.
Not a bother.
Thank you very much.
So
that's it. Ba-dum-bum-bum. Nice one.